This is an iHeart podcast.
What if I climbed up to the top of this building we're in now? It's a really tall building. What if I climbed up to the top of this building and I shouted down to you and I said, I'm going to jump off this building. And you said, no, Jesse, don't. And I said, no, I'm going to jump because I can fly. I'm going to spread my arms out and flap them really hard. I'm going to fly. Let me ask you something. Would you think I was sane or insane? You'd think I was insane. But why? Because I believed something that wasn't true at all. It's really the definition of insanity. It's what an insane person does. It's time to talk about an uncomfortable truth. We share a country with a bunch of people who are insane. And I'm not saying that in the normal insulting way I do, but the average American Democrat is an insane person. The Democrat Party understands its base is full of insane people. They placate those insane people. The insane people just get together and they have big insane parties and things just spiral down and down and down from there as the insanity gets worse and worse and worse. Have you ever watched a Democrat speak, a congressman, a senator, somebody running for office, and said to yourself, who are they speaking to? This is so unappealing. I don't know what they're talking about. They speak in this weird language. They're saying horrible things. Who are they speaking to? Well, this is something people have a hard time grasping. They're not speaking to you. You are a hyper-informed voter. You seek out information. You process things with your mind. You come to reasonable conclusions. Democrats understand they are never, ever, 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 ever going to get your vote in a million years, so they don't waste time speaking to you. Would you like to know why everything that comes out of their mouth sounds gross, almost alien, and most definitely insane? Allow me to introduce you to the beating heart of the Democrat Party. You can laugh and say, I just grabbed a video there, but we now have the studies that show married men vote Republican, married women vote Republican, single men vote Republican, but there's this one outlier out there. Single women to the tune of 70%, give or take, they vote Democrat every single time, and the majority of them, 60%, I've been on anti-anxiety medications for a very long time as well. And that is the beating heart of the Democrat Party. If it seems like the things they're saying are insane when they give their press conferences, it's because they are insane and because they understand their true base, their true voter is equally insane, and that's who they're speaking to. The average American Democrat lives in a world of make-believe, and it's young and old. It's not just young nutballs in the forest like that. It's cat ladies like this.
I am a childless cat woman, but I'm happy. I'm happy. Bring laughter on, you know?
Say to Vance.
Yeah, what is your message to Vance?
You're message.
You don't mess with childless cat ladies.
Have you ever been, have you always been this enthusiastic about politics, or is this new?
Since Donald Trump got in, I watched Rachel through his whole term, because I had to stay ahead.
They're insane. The American Democrat is insane, and so that's who Democrats speak to. And I want you to just, you want a good example of this? Here's a great example of this. Have you ever heard a Democrat in your life, maybe a coworker, an aunt, a mother, a child, whoever it may be, maybe you've seen this on social media. Have you ever seen them talk about Donald Trump suggesting you be injected with bleach to fight COVID? Have you ever seen anything like that? I'm laughing because I know you have. We all have. We've seen Democrats say that. You saw this Democrat on Fox News get blasted out of the sky for saying such a thing.
COVID and injecting bleach into...
Oh, come on. That,
okay.
Come on.
That's, come on. That's a hoax.
We're talking
no
about...
No one said injecting bleach.
He
please look it up.
Said
please
that.
Look it up.
Okay. A Lysol?
We'll do it in real time.
Is the wrong product?
No, no,
we're talking
no.
About
it never
fundamental...
It never happened.
Oh, it never happened.
You are literally living in a delusion right now.
Oh.
That never was said. Do the research.
Okay.
No one ever said injecting bleach. Look it up. It's been debunked. That's just like the fine
but
people
that's
hoax.
Not even... That's a
I hate having to fix these things in real time.
Do you see the shock on that lady? Oh, it's been debunked. And here's maybe the craziest part. What Donald Trump said that day was on videotape.
Said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that too. Sounds interesting.
We'll get the right folks who could.
Right. And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out. In a minute, 1 minute, and is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see, it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
Your liberal Aunt Peggy thinks Donald Trump told her to inject bleach because she's insane. And we are up against insane people. And we're going to go down the list. We have amazing guests, an amazing special for you about their insanity, the why, the who, and so much more. We have Liz Wheeler, Jen Gilardi, James Lindsay. What a show for you coming up tonight on I'm Right. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Ariel Fodor, affectionately known as Mrs. Frazzle to her combined audience of over 1.5 million followers, is here to help gentle parent us through this election.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I am so honored to speak today. I am like shaking to just be among such incredible company. We are here because as if you were here earlier, you've heard BIPOC women have tapped us in as white women to step up, listen, and get involved this election season. As white women, we need to use our privilege to make positive changes.
I can't, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh over the clip. I just can't help myself. These people, they all talk the same. Thank you joining me now. Somebody who doesn't talk like that, thank you, Lord, is my friend Liz Wheeler. She has an amazing new show on Blaze TV, The Liz Wheeler Show. As you know, she's fantastic. Go watch it. Okay, Liz, seriously, where do they teach these women to talk like this? They all talk the same way, every single one, every one of them.
I can't believe you made me watch that. What's funny is like 5 minutes before we got on air, I was actually scrolling through her Instagram because I had never heard of her before that white woman Zoom. And I was like, who is this? They're billing her like some pseudo celebrity. The ironic part is she I guess makes parody videos, quote unquote, gentle parenting, people that she finds annoying, which means conservatives, Christians, you, me, that sort of people, normal Americans. But she's living proof that gentle parenting actually ruins your kids and turns them into insufferable, intolerable, condescending, obnoxious brats, because I hate to name call, but obviously that's what she is.
No, it is what she is. And you know, Liz, there's something about this movement, this liberal white woman movement, that is really so mentally ill. And I understand all the statistics about how hooked on antidepressants they all are. And I understand they are legitimately mentally ill, but it comes across so clearly to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is something I've been chewing on a lot for the last, well, I guess week or 10 days since we were all subjected to that white woman Zoom and the that exact type of content thrown at us. And then we saw, not only was that annoying, of course, we saw that there actually was a movement in the polls towards Kamala Harris. Women, and in particular white women, were latching on to Kamala Harris's campaign. And you do have to ask, not just sort of existentially, like, why, God, why are these women such idiots? You do have to actually wonder, what is it about leftism that is so seductive to women, especially when leftism so obviously is a disservice to women? And I've been thinking about this a lot because clearly the Republican Party has a problem messaging to that demographic of women, sort of this late millennial, meaning 40s, maybe early 50s, maybe late 30s, women, especially white women, especially upper middle class white women. And I think the reason the Republicans have a hard time with this is twofold. First of all, the actual reason why, if you dissect why these women are liberal, it's not, you can't condense it into a tweet or a talking point. So it's a little more philosophical than that. And then second of all, a lot of our Republican leaders are idiots and don't want to give thought to any of their problems or any of the problems that we face. But I think that the reason that these women are liberal is for a couple of reasons. First of all, we are living in a post-Christian America. We are a nation in spiritual crisis. I'm not trying to sound like a preacher here. I'm just observing reality. We are a godless society. Even if those watching your show are faithful Christians, even if you are, even if I am, our society, our culture is no longer Christian. And when you have this spiritual crisis, the way that it manifests is people, every person on in our country ask the questions, who am I? What is my purpose? What am I here on earth to do? And if you don't have God as the answer to that question, or I'm here to pursue God or here to do the work of God, then your answer is going to be material. It's going to lead you to answer in only economic terms, right? I'm here to be XYZ career. I'm here to earn XYZ money. And you're going to think of this in a very material economic way. Now, our economy, of course, was built for men to provide for their families. So many of the jobs that are available in our economy are jobs that require or reward male skills. And I don't say reward like ideologically reward. I just mean if you work on an oil rig or if you're a CEO, typically male characteristics work better in those types of jobs. So you have women all of a sudden asking this existential question about what's my purpose, trying to answer that materially, economically. The only way for them to achieve in an economy is to try to ape the skills of men. And if women try to be men, they are A, going to fail, and they're going to do very badly. That breeds resentment. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the ideological thing. When you don't have God in your life, you are very susceptible to idolatry. And the form of idolatry that's most common in our nation is ideological idolatry. So you have feminism, for example, coming in and telling women to abandon their womanhood, that their femininity is weak, that marriage is oppressive, that children are limiting, that that they should find their true potential in their careers. And this causes a self-loathing in women because they begin to feel that who they are made to be, what God intended for them to do, is worth nothing, and that they should reject that. And then, of course, you have this cultural sexual crisis that we have, where since women are told that to be liberated, they should be promiscuous, men take full advantage of that. And you have these women who have essentially been abused by men, even if they don't realize that they're being abused at the time. To take part in a promiscuous sexual culture is to be abused. And what happens is they are broken. They turn against the men that have harmed them, even if it's not the individual man. They turn against men in general. So it begets this incredibly broken society. And then you have the Democrats come in, promise to be their savior, tell them that all of their problems, all of their brokenness, all of their lack of purpose can be blamed on this patriarchy of Republicans. They're looking for something to blame all their problems on. And when the Democrat Party also feeds into the selfishness and narcissism that this kind of brokenness creates, then you have exactly what we had on that Zoom call, all these white women just being insufferable, but really kind of sad, broken people.
No, very sad. Okay, so Liz, since we can't go door to door and hand all these women essential oils, how do we campaign to them?
Please, Jesse, let's not mock essential oils. I have a lovely aura of lavender in here right now to keep me from getting too intense. Kidding. how do we appeal to them? Well, it's not something that Republicans can just whip out of their arsenal 3 months before the election. This is my frustration with Republicans in general and conservatives in general. When you don't acknowledge these spiritual level issues, you think that this is just an advertising campaign that's the same as like, oh, how do we convince people to buy the latest line of Nike shoes with this really fascinating, colorful campaign ad for 3 weeks that motivate people to buy a product? That's not what politics is anymore. You can't just start competing for hearts and minds and think that in a matter of weeks, I mean, we are literally weeks away, right? Because it's not November isn't election day. Election season starts in September, as AOC says. The election is won in September. So we're mere weeks away from this. We can't just think that we're going to ideologically change a whole generation of women in 3 weeks. What I would do personally, and what I have advised those who have an interest in winning the presidency in the fall, is I have advised them to be based and in reality. The left has something that Republicans don't have. They have a killer instinct. They are willing to stoop to any low to win. And while I'm not suggesting we do something unethical or illegal, I do suggest that we find some motivation in winning. We need to win. We need to compete. We need to be based. You don't compromise with evil. You defeat evil. So identify the things about Kamala Harris that everyone finds detestable. The fact that she slept her way to the top. That's gross. That's conniving. The fact that she supports open borders that put your families in danger. The fact that she supported a Black Lives Matter bailout fund that allowed criminals, including someone who committed domestic violence against a woman or against a woman, to go free on the streets. Find these things about Kamala Harris that, yes, even liberal women find to be completely detestable, and hammer those things. Don't be so afraid to make personal attacks against Kamala Harris being a DEI hire that you end up just being like, well, vaguely, the Biden administration failed. Can't you see that on its own? And therefore, don't you want to not vote for Kamala? That kind of weakness is never going to win.
That's a fact. Or just call her dome. That's what I do. All right, Liz, why are the commies... why are they bold when they're about things they're wrong about? You know, I could make this all about Dome if I wanted to, but she's just one example. They are so bold about all their evil stuff, abortion and all this other crap, and yet the people who are right, us, we're very, very sheepish about it, Liz. Well, I'm not really sure. I don't want to offend anyone. Even all the tranny madness, the right even had to boil that down to trannies in women's sports. I don't want trannies in women's sports, but let's stop pretending like a dude can become a woman by chopping his penis off in any form. I don't know why we had to cede all that ground.
Right. Well, the reason why Republicans are often weak and Democrats have this killer instinct is because there's no such thing as secularism. There's no such thing as neutrality. I know sometimes I feel like a lone wolf taking this position, but we really don't live in a nation where there's a neutral playing field. It's either our religiously oriented morals are going to prevail, or the opposite. The opposite of our religiously oriented morals is going to prevail, meaning the left's politics is a religion. It's not just an ideology. It's not just a political party that they're part of. It is a religion, and they believe it with all of their heart and all of their compromised soul. So they're fighting as if it is an existential battle for the soul of our nation. And Republicans might say that in eloquent speeches, but how many Republicans in the U.S. Congress, for example, do you think really believe that? How many of them do you think really believe that we are in a battle between good and evil, that there is spiritual warfare around us, that this ideology of communism is an ideology of Satan? How many of them actually believe that, to the point that if we don't win this generation, we're not going to have the American dream to pass on to our children? I mean, Jesse, I don't think that very many Republican politicians actually believe that.
Yeah, that's a fact. We have a bunch of low-T dorks who don't fight for anything because they don't believe in anything. It pretty much nails it. Liz Wheeler, of course, the Liz Wheeler Show on Blaze TV. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you as always. All right. Jennifer Gilardi is going to talk to us about women on the left because she was one. She's going to talk about that conversion and other things. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Kamala Harris says we're weird. Well, Kamala, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about some things that are weird. We think it's weird that Democrats want to put sexually explicit books in toddlers' libraries. We think it's weird that the far left wants to allow biological males to beat the living crap out of women in boxing. We think it's weird for a presidential candidate to bail convicted rapists and murderers out of prison, and that's what Kamala Harris did.
She is weird in a variety of ways. You know who's not weird is Jennifer Gilardi. Although, I don't know, she may describe herself as weird. Culture, health, and policy writer and former crazy liberal white woman, only now she's a sane, wonderful guest on the show, Jennifer Gilardi. Jennifer, okay, the commies ran with this J.D. Vance's weird campaign. And, of course, we all mocked it and we abused it on the right. But I see things from a different perspective. You now see things from a different perspective. If you're on the left, are campaigns like that effective? Does it work? Was it a smart campaign?
I think it was. I mean, listen, I know political pundits talk a lot about economy, foreign policy, right? The policy issues. I don't think those things reach the single women of the left. If you'll indulge me just like a few minutes, which you always so graciously do. I like to dive in, as you know, a little bit of the psychology that I think is driving some of this transformation of our culture and ultimately the vision of our country. You know, people were worried about, well, now they're worried about World War III with the latest escalation in the Middle East. But I think we've been at World War III for a while now, as early as COVID and probably decades before, subverting Western civilization norms, you know, what they now want to call weird. And one of these is the cornerstones of one of these is pitting men against women and convincing us women should run the world. I mean, you're going to see that from now until November nonstop. You have to vote for Kamala because you're a woman. Well, no, I don't. But you're the expert in communism. You know, Khrushchev said, and I'll quote here, I wrote it down so I don't miss it. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find that you already have communism. We will so weaken your economy, and in this case, I'd say our culture and our norms, until you fall like overripe fruit into our hands. And that's exactly what we're seeing with the subversion of masculinity and elevating of the feminine. You know, men derive, as we've talked about this, men derive their purpose from being leaders, whether that's in their families or at work. And women often find their purpose in motherhood. Now, I admit that I did not fall into this norm. I don't have kids, but I still understand that we can't disconnect our purpose in life from our biology. Women cannot do that. We can't just discard our wombs and say we're anything we want to be. But this new wave of feminism has turned human nature completely on its head and convince women they'd be happier in the workforce and behaving like men. And you see it all over social media. I mean, they're still not happy. Women still are not happy. You know, it was my experience as a liberal woman, a single liberal woman, that I always had this inner turmoil and angst and depression, no matter how joyous and nice or successful my life looked on the outside. And these labels, I think, of toxic masculinity and toxic femininity, they're not helpful. It's just masculinity and femininity that hasn't been properly developed or matured, right? We're a bunch of immature men and women running around. There's a book I'm reading called No Apologies. I have it right here. Why Civilization Depends on the Strength of Men. And he talks about niceness. To me, niceness is a form of that underdeveloped femininity. He says, niceness rules the land, not moral virtue. And a soft and fluffy cover, it's a soft and fluffy cover for vindictiveness, resentment, and hatred. And that is poorly directed femininity. You see it on social media. I saw one girl bragging about how bored she was on a date and how her date noticed, like, you seem to be bored. You seem to not be taking interest in being here. And she said, oh, you're right. I'm just bored of men. And she was boasting about it. And then you have women that, like that Ariel woman who's leading this Women for Kamala thing. If you hear the tone of her voice, where are women learning to speak in this baby tone, this condescending, put a bubble, grab a bubble, whatever she's, I mean, it's like, as a woman, it's cringy. And we, you know, we have some wonderful examples. Megyn Kelly is one of them. Sage Steele, my friend Jennifer Say, who came up with this athletic clothing brand that I'm wearing, XXXY, that stands up for women and women's sports. You know, even Jillian Michaels, she's like a really good example of strong feminine leadership. That thumos, that spiritedness and courage, that striving for virtue, but they've completely turned that around of what it means to be a woman. And fine, make me weird again. Like, make Austin weird, make women weird, as long as it's some return to virtue and what really makes us women.
Jennifer, you touched on men and women, and I've been wanting to ask you this question. I'm glad you're on here. There's all kinds of studies and things that are pointing to this, and in fact, the emails to my show very much point to this, where men and women are racing in opposite directions at this point in time. Now, as a dude, I can understand perfectly well why young men are racing to the right. We have a tendency to rebel against authority, reject cultural norms. That's just more of a dude thing. And that's good. I'm glad. I love all these young Chads out there rejecting all this stuff. But it's not a good thing that we're losing our women. And then the men can't find women because every woman's a nut job now. Not every woman. But why are women going that way? Why are they going left so hard, so fast at a time when being on the left is getting weirder and darker and more demonic by the day? Why are women choosing it?
Well, I think I touched on it with the niceness thing. You know, they're confusing kindness and compassion with nice. I often have people say, you're nice. And I said, I'm not nice. I'm kind. I'm not nice. I don't just like go with whatever someone tells me is how I should treat people. I try to lead with compassion. The other thing, this is kind of a big idea, but I'll touch on, is this idea of guilt. And how we handle guilt. And the Christian notion of guilt, which is often women on the right, whether they're married or not, is that I don't have to absolve my guilt through my behavior, right? Someone already did that. Jesus did that for me on the cross. I don't have to feel bad about it. I repent and I move on. I think a lot of these women, you know, it's weird. I look back on this when I was thinking about talking to you. I looked back on my days as a liberal woman and I thought, I really felt guilty for being intelligent, for being pretty, for maybe, you know, getting noticed by men and getting jobs because of the way I looked. And I think women want to make themselves smaller. They don't want to be empowered by that and say, you know, these are the gifts God has given me. How do I use these to make my society better, to make my culture better, to uplift people? Instead, I think a lot of women feel like, you know, we see it in the white woman for Kamala thing. We have to be an ally. We have to do these things. They don't know what to do with some guilt. And I think the left plays on that and then it turns it out into the world, right? And you get the joining movements. They join every movement that says, that empowers, that again, that supposedly empowers people, but just keeps dividing us, whether it's by race, whether it's by sexual identity, whatever it is. You know, I think Christianity and conservatives tend to handle guilt with forgiveness and humility and gratitude. I mean, that was a huge shift for me, of being thankful for everything I had, as opposed to being angry and looking for every little offense, every little reason to be angry, every little reason to be offended, and then projecting and pretending you're the savior. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to save the world from all of the ills. It's like, I can't do that. That's not on me.
No, it's not. Being hot really is a gift from God, by the way. All right, Jennifer, so I hear all the time about how the right, the GOP, how they're supposed to, that you can't say this because women will be mad, and you can't say that because women will be mad. And to me, this seems like a fool's errand, but you know you're more than welcome to correct me. It seems like a fool's errand if you're going to try to aim your message at the women you just described, angry, guilty, flighty. If you're going to try to tailor your message to something that doesn't offend the liberal white woman on an anti-anxiety medications, then you're lost. You're never going to logic your way into getting that woman to vote for you. But am I wrong?
No, I think, I tweeted this out that I think it was in response to something you tweeted. And I just don't think, like you said, there's no presenting logic to them. There's no appealing to the head. I really think it requires a change of heart. And for me, that was returning to Christianity and finding Christ and absolving myself of this guilt and saying, wow, I've really, whatever talents God has given me, I should be using those. And you know what, by the way, it's not just women. I have discussions with a liberal male friend of mine and they're just not open to hear. They say, we were having a conversation about the Green New Deal and the environment. Oh, well, all of the people that refute climate change and, you know, your climate deniers, first of all, I mean, that is the name they give to you. And then they say they're all bought and paid for by big oil. You can't win. So I think we'd be better off, you know, maybe talking about policy. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not so confident the conservatives or Republicans are going to win this year. I know I have some liberal friends that they were going to stay home because they just can't stomach Trump. They have TDS, they have Trump derangement syndrome, but Joe Biden didn't have a pulse. So they're left with nothing. And now at least they've got somebody that can breathe, if not speak articulately. And they're like, I can't help it. I'm voting for Harris. So I think we're on very tenuous ground here. I don't think this is a sure thing at all.
I don't either. Yeah. No, now they're all on Team Dome. Jennifer, I will talk to you again soon. Come back soon. All right. James Lindsay, he knows a bit about this stuff. We'll talk to him next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Kamala Harris says we're weird. Well, Kamala, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about some things that are weird. We think it's weird that Democrats want to put sexually explicit books in toddlers' libraries. We think it's weird that the far left wants to allow biological males to beat the living crap out of women in boxing. We think it's weird for a presidential candidate to bail convicted rapists and murderers out of prison, and that's what Kamala Harris did.
She is weird in a variety of ways. You know who's not weird is Jennifer Gilardi. Although, I don't know, maybe she may describe herself as weird. Culture, health, and policy writer and former crazy liberal white woman, only now she's a sane, wonderful guest on the show, Jennifer Gilardi. Jennifer, okay, the commies ran with this J.D. Vance's weird campaign, and of course we all mocked it and we abused it on the right, but I see things from a different perspective. You now see things from a different perspective. If you're on the left, are campaigns like that effective? Does it work? Was it a smart campaign?
I think it was. I mean, listen, I know political pundits talk a lot about economy, foreign policy, right? The policy issues. I don't think those things reach the single women of the left. If you'll indulge me just like a few minutes, which you always so graciously do, I like to dive into, as you know, a little bit of the psychology that I think is driving some of this transformation of our culture and ultimately the vision of our country. You know, people were worried about, well, now they're worried about World War III with the latest escalation in the Middle East. But I think we've been at World War III for a while now, as early as COVID and probably decades before, subverting Western civilization norms, you know, what they now want to call weird. And one of these is the cornerstones of one of these is pitting men against women and convincing us women should run the world. I mean, you're going to see that from now until November nonstop. You have to vote for Kamala because you're a woman. Well, no, I don't. But you're the expert in communism. You know, Khrushchev said, and I'll quote here, I wrote it down so I don't miss it. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find that you already have communism. We will so weaken your economy, and in this case, I'd say our culture and our norms, until you fall like overripe fruit into our hands. And that's exactly what we're seeing with this subversion of masculinity and elevating of the feminine. You know, men derive, as we've talked about this, men derive their purpose from being leaders, whether that's in their families or at work. And women often find their purpose in motherhood. Now, I admit that I did not fall into this norm. I don't have kids, but I still understand that we can't disconnect our purpose in life from our biology. Women cannot do that. We can't just discard our wombs and say we're anything we want to be. But this new wave of feminism has turned human nature completely on its head and convince women they'd be happier in the workforce and behaving like men. And you see it all over social media. I mean, they're still not happy. Women still are not happy. You know, it was my experience as a liberal woman, a single liberal woman, that I always had this inner turmoil and angst and depression, no matter how joyous and nice or successful my life looked on the outside. And these labels, I think, of toxic masculinity and toxic femininity, they're not helpful. It's just masculinity and femininity that hasn't been properly developed or matured, right? We're a bunch of immature men and women running around. There's a book I'm reading called No Apologies. I have it right here. Why Civilization Depends on the Strength of Men. And he talks about niceness. To me, niceness is a form of that underdeveloped femininity. He says, niceness rules the land, not moral virtue. And a soft and fluffy cover, it's a soft and fluffy cover for vindictiveness, resentment, and hatred. And that is poorly directed femininity. You see it on social media. I saw one girl bragging about how bored she was on a date and how her date noticed, like, you seem to be bored. You seem to not be taking interest in being here. And she said, oh, you're right. I'm just bored of men. And she was boasting about it. And then you have women that, like that Ariel woman who's leading this Women for Kamala thing. If you hear the tone of her voice, where are women learning to speak in this baby tone, this condescending, put a bubble, grab a bubble, whatever she's, I mean, it is, it's like, as a woman, it's cringy. And we, you know, we have some wonderful examples. Megyn Kelly is one of them. Sage Steele, my friend Jennifer Say, who came up with this athletic clothing brand that I'm wearing, XXXY, that stands up for women and women's sports. You know, even Jillian Michaels, she's like a really good example of strong feminine leadership. That thumos, that spiritedness and courage, that striving for virtue, but they've completely turned that around of what it means to be a woman. And fine, make me weird again, like make Austin weird, make women weird, as long as it's some return to virtue and what really makes us women.
Jennifer, you touched on men and women, and I've been wanting to ask you this question. I'm glad you're on here. There's all kinds of studies and things that are pointing to this, and in fact, the emails to my show very much point to this, where men and women are racing in opposite directions at this point in time. Now, as a dude, I can understand perfectly well why young men are racing to the right. We have a tendency to rebel against authority, reject cultural norms. That's just more of a dude thing. And that's good. I'm glad. I love all these young Chads out there rejecting all this stuff. But it's not a good thing that we're losing our women. And then the men can't find women because every woman's a nut job now. Not every woman. But why are women going that way? Why are they going left so hard, so fast at a time when being on the left is getting weirder and darker and more demonic by the day? Why are women choosing it?
Well, I think I touched on it with the niceness thing. You know, they're confusing kindness and compassion with nice. I often have people say, you're nice. And I said, I'm not nice, I'm kind. I'm not nice. I don't just like go with whatever someone tells me is how I should treat people. I try to lead with compassion. The other thing, this is kind of a big idea, but I'll touch on, is this idea of guilt and how we handle guilt. And the Christian notion of guilt, which is often women on the right, whether they're married or not, is that I don't have to absolve my guilt through my behavior, right? Someone already did that. Jesus did that for me on the cross. I don't have to feel bad about it. I repent and I move on. I think a lot of these women, you know, it's weird. I look back on this when I was thinking about talking to you. I looked back on my days as a liberal woman and I thought, I really felt guilty for being intelligent, for being pretty, for maybe, you know, getting noticed by men and getting jobs because of the way I looked. And I think women want to make themselves smaller. They don't want to be empowered by that and say, you know, these are the gifts God has given me. How do I use these to make my society better, to make my culture better, to uplift people? Instead, I think a lot of women feel like, you know, we see it in the white woman for Kamala thing. We have to be an ally. We have to do these things. They don't know what to do with some guilt. And I think the left plays on that and then it turns it out into the world, right? And you get the joining movements. They join every movement that says, that empowers, that again, that supposedly empowers people, but just keeps dividing us, whether it's by race, whether it's by sexual identity, whatever it is. You know, I think Christianity and conservatives tend to handle guilt with forgiveness and humility and gratitude. I mean, that was a huge shift for me, of being thankful for everything I had, as opposed to being angry and looking for every little offense, every little reason to be angry, every little reason to be offended, and then projecting and pretending you're the savior. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to save the world from all of the ills. It's like, I can't do that. That's not on me.
No, it's not. Being hot really is a gift from God, by the way. All right, Jennifer, so I hear all the time about how the right, the GOP, how they're supposed to, that you can't say this because women will be mad, and you can't say that because women will be mad. And to me, this seems like a fool's errand, but you know you're more than welcome to correct me. It seems like a fool's errand if you're going to try to aim your message at the women you just described, angry, guilty, flighty. If you're going to try to tailor your message to something that doesn't offend the liberal white woman on anti-anxiety medications, then you're lost. You're never going to logic your way into getting that woman to vote for you. But am I wrong?
No, I think, you know, I tweeted this out that I think it was in response to something you tweeted. And I just don't think, like you said, there's no presenting logic to them. There's no appealing to the head. I really think it requires a change of heart. And for me, that was returning to Christianity and finding Christ and absolving myself of this guilt and saying, wow, I've really, whatever talents God has given me, I should be using those. And you know what, by the way, it's not just women. I have discussions with a liberal male friend of mine and they're just not open to hear. They say, we were having a conversation about the Green New Deal and the environment. Oh, well, all of the people that refute climate change and, you know, your climate deniers, first of all, I mean, that is the name they give to you. And then they say they're all bought and paid for by big oil. You can't win. So I think we'd be better off, you know, maybe talking about policy. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not so confident the conservatives or Republicans are going to win this year. I know I have some liberal friends that they were going to stay home because they just can't stomach Trump. They have TDS, they have Trump derangement syndrome, but Joe Biden didn't have a pulse. So they're left with nothing. And now at least they've got somebody that can breathe, if not speak articulately. And they're like, I can't help it. I'm voting for Harris. So I think we're on very tenuous ground here. I don't think this is a sure thing at all.
I don't either. Yeah. Well, now they're all on Team Dome. Jennifer, I will talk to you again soon. Come back soon. All right. James Lindsay, he knows a bit about this stuff. We'll talk to him next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
We have to defeat them. For final thoughts, I wanted to have this discussion with you because you'll see so many people on the right, oftentimes well-meaning, not always, but oftentimes well-meaning people on the right will try to have this discussion about how we need to take this insane woman who's screaming about her 19th abortion and we just need to have a, we're not speaking to her in the right way, of course. Well, you shouldn't say that because that woman might get offended and she might vote against us. No, we need to defeat these people. We are in a battle, and there will be one and only one victor. You're not going to reason with these people. You're not going to speak in just the right kind of gentle tone to have her kind of come around to your way of thinking, because you're dealing with people who live in a world of make-believe. Now, we want what's best for them. We want them to wake up and come out of that world. And some have. You heard Jennifer Ghilardi earlier. Some have. Some can. That's what we want. But if they don't, our goal is not compromise. Our goal is not to reason with them. Our goal is victory. We must seek victory, be strong enough to demand victory, and go grab it. All right? We'll do it again.
This is an iHeart podcast.